All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Money Mitch Effect. My name is Mitch Michaels, and welcome to this sports podcast where we have a lot to discuss in the world of football. The NFL free agency period has been very, very exciting. Really, from the moment that you can even before deals can be signed, even before official, you know, tampering period, which might be getting some teams in trouble, but they said doesn't sleep, and we saw that all week this week in the football world and universe. And joining me now to break down all of the ins of what's going on is Adam Musto. Adam, welcome back to the show. I know the last time we talked, it was actual football season, but I guess there is no end to football season is what we learned.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've been on your show to do a free agency special. I might have, but I feel like it is usually during the season. Yeah, just the continuation of the 12-month, you know, sport. Obviously, we have March Madness coming up, so that definitely takes, you know, a big seat. But it just seems like the combine was just like, what, like 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, and then the draft isn't that far away. And then, you know, then soon enough, it'll be time for training camp and all of the, you know, mini camps and stuff.
Can I,
if you follow the other sports or the other football leagues, I guess.
I wanted to say one other thing briefly, and not to kind of, you know, get all in on a topic that's near and dear to our heart, but I have worries about the combine now, because I think the trend might be for the top players, why do I need to do this? And you know what? I can't really say I blame them, but we saw Caleb and none of the top quarterbacks really did anything. Marvin Harrison, the top receiver, you know, they're going to see, and we'll see what their pro days even look like. But I think that trend for the very top might be continuing.
Yeah, I think so, especially if, yeah, like the guys like Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams, if you know, you're probably going to be literally a top, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pick or something like that. And I think it's definitely probably supercharged now just because they're able to make money while they're playing. So, well, I don't know if that, you know, there's still obviously, you know, might be made at the NFL level, but I guess if you're really locked into that spot, and, you know, it's always kind of a curious situation, kind of when you're watching the drills, you know, even there's talk, you know, the 40-yard dash, how often do you do that in an NFL game? But you know, how can guys improve their stock doing some of those drills? And I don't think we've had a catastrophic injury. I know some of the guys running the 40, you know, they might slip and trip. But, you know, I think if there is one really bad one, it can kind of accelerate that even more.
It's going to be very fascinating to see how the NFL combine progresses. But free agency is always an interesting time. I think times are changing in a lot of ways. Some could say, you know, in the NFL landscape, for good and for worse. The biggest story to me, bigger than any one player, and we'll get to, you know, some of the bigger players at quarterback especially, Adam, was the running back market collectively. We've never seen anything like this where running backs by the bunches were switching teams. I think 8 or 9 players that either started or got lead shares on their team are going to be on different teams next year. What was your reaction to that? Because for me, it's more of the running backs and their agents specifically were like, we are going to get the best guaranteed money we can, regardless of loyalty, regardless of fit. It just seemed like the wild, wild west. And again, can't say I blame running backs, because this is the market. Shorter term deals with as much money as you can get up front.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when that was, when, you know, that's when things kind of really hit the fan for running backs, when they realized, you know, this is what, I don't know if it was last offseason, where, you know, just there's just been this like seismic shift of, you know, teams kind of going all into, we're just going to use, you know, 3 or 4 guys. I remember, what was it like? It was like 2014 or so, where the Patriots, I think the year that they beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, they had like a 500-yard running back as their leader. And that was kind of crazy at the time. Now that's definitely the norm. And I guess for like Saquon Barkley, it kind of goes back to, I remember when he was drafted so high, the talk was, is it really worth it for, and this was when the trend was starting to shift, is it worth it for a guy that, you know, might not have as much longevity playing for a team for 15 years? And that's kind of the case. I mean, maybe even, you know, more of a kick to the stomach for Giants fans going to, you know, your direct rival. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, 3, 4, 5 years with the team seems to be kind of the norm. And then after that, maybe 1 to 2 year deals.
Yeah, and really for the Eagles, to me, they get Barkley. You know, props to them, I guess, for how they, you know, backload a lot of their deals and are able to still just seemingly have money every offseason. I don't think this necessarily solves all their problems. You got, you know, as a Bears fan, you felt kind of the ripple effects of this. Swift is now a Chicago Bear. So it was like dominoes, and we were even seeing some deals happen, like with the Packers signing Jacobs, what's going on there, and then, of course, it comes out that Jones isn't, you know, part of the team. You know, he stays in division as well with Minnesota. So there's been a lot of moving parts. The Barkley one, though, was that seminal moment I remember with the draft. Why would you take someone that high, regardless of how good he is? And I think that strategy has proven to be true. Now, Barkley, if healthy, that's the biggest, you know, qualifier that we can think of almost in all of football. But he could give this team that added dimension. And I do think the offense that he's in isn't going to rely on him to do just about everything. That was the big one, obviously, Barkley going there. But I think a lot of these running that ended in new positions and new teams really did stand out. Was there another one in particular outside of Saquon that caught your eye? We can roll through them briefly here, but just want to know what else stood out.
Well, I think, Swift going to the Bears is interesting. I feel like it's just, I don't know if it's just a matter of teams, you know, trying to maybe fit a guy into their current system, if that's kind of what maybe GMs are looking for. I don't know if there's a specific guy, but, you know, because I don't think that, you know, the days of just, you know, loading up a guy for a 1,700 yard seal past us. So I don't know if it's just a balance of, you know, I think it's interesting with Derrick Henry going to the Ravens and just kind of, you know, adding more ground.
Yeah, and that was after the fact. That was after, you know, he was one of the last ones to sign and make his move. So we kind of surveyed the scene. It's funny though, right? Because Derrick Henry, you know, still looks like he has something to give. And that's, isn't that the bigger point in all this though, Adam, is what the cliff looks like? Because you're always worried about when the running backs fall off the cliff. And it's also fair to say that not everyone is going to, you know, decline and depreciate at the same rate at the same time. So for Henry and all the miles he's had, I think his was more about, I have to go to a good team because I don't know how much longer this is going to last.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back like a generation ago, obviously you had like Emmitt Smith going to the Cardinals and Thurman Thomas going to the Dolphins. And, you know, I feel like we've seen kind of some interesting things where it seemed like Adrian Peterson kind of bounced around with a bunch of teams. And obviously like Frank Gore just kind of being the outlier of just being able to, you know, be a workhorse for the longest time until, you know, his son's back in the NFL.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, maybe the interesting thing with Henry is, you know, I mean, he made an impact, but you know, he didn't have 1,000-yard seasons his first 2 years, and I feel like I don't want to take a shot at your Browns, but I feel like Trent Richardson kind of, like, you know, changed the kind of this whole dynamic
They got a first for him. I mean, jokes, you know, the Browns had the last laugh with the Colts there, but, no, I mean, and I get it. Like, that was probably the first one that was like, hey, like, yeah. I actually think, though, a guy that isn't a bust is what really sets it apart. Like, you could have a stud first round. I mean, Adrian Peterson was probably the last one where you actually felt the difference. But even if he actually turns out to be great, I mean, how many times did Steven Jackson end up in the Pro Bowl and those St. Louis Rams didn't do anything?
Yeah, and I think even just the whole, you know, especially hard in today's NFL, unless you can, you know, you're a great receiver coming out of the backfield. But I just feel like it's hard to, you know, build a team around a running back. Even, you know, going back and like watching Walter Payton highlights, not to go back even further, but, you know, at some point, you know, defense, if that is your team, you know, defenses can just stack the box. And yeah, I mean, even if you're someone like Payton who just gives, they're all, you know, 100%, that's not going to be sustainable for the long term. And I feel like it's, you know, easier to game plan than if you have someone like Justin Jefferson on your team.
Yeah, I think the Packers, when Jones was due, I think $17 million on the cap hit, they couldn't really meet a number to restructure it, so they go with Jacobs, who I don't think is quite as good as Jones, and then, you know, Jones just goes to the Vikings, which was fascinating. You had Tony Pollard on the Titans, which is a new one. The Bengals going younger and cheaper with Zach Moss over Joe Mixon, who goes to the Texans. Mixon just got a new contract, too, and I know he's been around a bit, but in the short term, I mean, obviously get the Bengals have to start paying people. They've already started paying people, Adam. But the Texans, you know, won the division, won a playoff game, which I'm well aware of. Stroud and Mixon next year. I mean, this team is not trying to be a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, they definitely had a, you know, fantastic draft last year. I think Joe Mixon's a great fit for their team. You know, he was 27 last year, so I feel like he's, you know, pretty versatile. And, yeah, I think when you hit on a young quarterback, it's really just about, you know, protecting him and adding as many, you know, targets to kind of help him out as much as possible.
So other free agent moves, and I should mention, too, Austin Ekeler to the Washington Commanders. 2 years, 11.43, I think, was the number. But Eckler's another one. You know, he's 28, and I think he can kind of age a little better. He could be a number two running back for a lot longer than maybe some of these, so that's one to look out for. But in addition, the biggest free agent prize, Kirk Cousins, based on all the rankings going into it and the fact that the QB market is what it is, the Falcons, 4 years, $180 million. Adam, this guy, love him or hate him, and I think there's a reason both, depending on where you rank him, but this guy just knows how to play the free agent game. I mean, there's nobody better at playing the game of maximizing your value and getting the most money than Kirk Cousins, maybe ever.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because he is, you know, I think as we kind of look at this quarterback market, you know, obviously like Justin Fields being on the trade block, Desmond Ridder was just traded, but he's a guy that, you know, I guess there's probably a high ceiling for him where, you know, obviously unless he suffers an injury like he did last year, you know, you're going to be in it. It's just a matter of, you know, what's that going to look like in January, December, you know, February, later in the season. So, you know, other than last season, he's been very consistent. Obviously, you know, I'm sure if you're a Vikings or, you know, Washington fan, you're probably wanting a little bit more later in the year. You know, everything I've heard, he's a great person on and off the field. It's just, I guess it's a matter of, you know, can you win a Super Bowl with him? And I think obviously the jury's still out on that.
Falcons are in an interesting position too, right? And I get why the Vikings aren't going to match that number because they've got to make some decisions for what their future's like. I think they signed Sam Darnold and they're going to have some QB battles there and they might go younger. But, you know, Falcons were in a division that was not very good. The Saints have kind of have to decide where they're at. The Panthers were atrocious. The Bucks are kind of doing the redemption tour. You're bringing everybody back, trying to get back to the playoffs and, you know, win another game or go beyond. Evan stays, and then Baker Mayfield signs that contract. Adam, there's always one, right? And I think he deserves it, but that the $100 million deal that can easily be voided if it doesn't work out.
For Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because I feel like it was Geno Smith before where, and we've talked about this, there's not a ton of redemption stories where a guy gets benched. And
no, you were on that. Yeah, you were on that before anyone, and now we're in a new era where, like, Goff is, like, probably the biggest one, but Goff, Mayfield, and Geno.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just a system. You know, obviously you hear all the stats of, you know, how many times they switch offensive coordinators or coaches, and it's just, you know, trying to find that fit. And to see what works. And yeah, I think, you know, it's a great point you made about taking advantage of the division when it's there. I feel like a lot of that kind of goes unnoticed. And even, you know, I'm sure when coaches have some flexibility, you know, to choose a team, you know, it makes a big difference if you're going to be, you know, in a division where, you know, 9-8 or, you know, 10-7 can win it year in and year out versus if, you know, you're going to have to go against, you know, the Packers or the Patriots or the franchise quarterback for a decade or more.
So more free agency talk with Adam Musto here on the Money Mitch Effect. You know, the defensive guys, too. Also, the Panthers. Hasn't been going well for them, to say the least, recently. The Burns trade. Brian Burns traded, not for a first-round pick, Adam. That's talk about not maximizing value. They had offers, allegedly, last year for first, and the Giants get him without having to give up one.
Yeah, it's, you know, he was probably one of the rare players on the team that actually has value. Always going back to, you know, when Jimmy Johnson said, okay, Herschel Walker's the only guy that we have on our team that, you know, is worth anything. And I think it is kind of crazy how you there's so many stories of, you know, these great players are, you know, were great 1 or 2 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're only worth in trade value a 6th or 7th round draft pick. So I guess if you're a team, you kind of have to maximize it. It's definitely a pretty cutthroat part of the business. I don't know if it was Bill Walsh who said, I'd rather get rid of a player a year early than a year late. So, you know, I know teams are generally hopeful that they can make these blockbuster trades, but I feel like we just see over and over where a lot of guys are just kind of, you know, trade for, you know, kind of a flyer in the last day of the draft.
One of the biggest contracts we've ever seen, too, was Chris Jones getting his deal finally, you know, age 29 at the Chiefs. 5 years, $160 million. That is just staggering money. So I guess with that, I wanted to also talk about the QB market. There's a lot more that goes into this. You know, I guess I got to get a Jameis Winston jersey now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he's probably going to see the field given Watson's injury history.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's interesting too, because if you are a quarterback in the NFL and, you know, you're looking for a team, knowing that you're going to be a backup, I'm sure that's something that you have to take into account is, you know, the, you know, injury history of someone ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a realistic shot. And I feel like we've seen it so many times in the last couple of years where people get injured and, you know, I don't know the stats on, you know, the number of starting quarterbacks that we see each season, but yeah. I feel like generally there's going to be opportunities. It's obviously just taking advantage of it. And he's an interesting one because, you know, he had another chance with the Saints, and then he was injured, and, you know, he sounded like, you know, he had some games where he was kind of on the track to his redemption story, but, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it's, you know, as some guys, we have enough tape, we kind of know who they are, but, and some do better when they're just plugged in, and, you know, we only need them for a game or a half or something.
Well, I'll tell you this, his last play as a Saints player was going rogue to hand the ball off and run the score up a little bit. If he does that against the Steelers, he'll be carried off the field by the fans. So he's he's well ready. He's into the town, and they'll just parade him around. I mean, I think that was, you know, the QB market was interesting. You have the Russell Wilson thing. I mean, they bought out his deal. We'll see what happens with the Watson trade. I'm not Watson signing, but as far as that trade, I mean, that's going to go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history now. The Broncos cutting him and eating all that money, and the Steelers, you know, taking a flyer on a guy. I don't know how much he has left, but Pittsburgh's a perfect place to find out. And look, if you can't beat out Kenny Pickett right now, that probably is the end of the road. So very low risk on that one.
Yeah, and it is crazy just how his ascension or his descension just, you know, went from obviously all the talk, you know, last season was, you know, is his Hall of Fame bid over. So it's weird. I mean, you know, some guy, we've seen it maybe with like Kurt Warner where, you know, you have a late season or late career resurgence, obviously got him into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he would have just got in based on his merits with the Rams. I'm sure going to another Super Bowl with the Cardinals helped a lot. I think the Steelers are an interesting case just because they're generally known for their stability. Like you said, it is a generally probably a pretty good fit for them to kind of have enough pieces around him to make it work out, where he's not just getting thrown into the fire. Not that he's someone that can handle the fire, but right, it always helps.
So other QB deals, you have Gardner Minshew going to the Raiders, and you know your thing about the starting quarterback, Joe Flacco does it again, right? Goes to the Colts where they had the injury issue with Richardson. So another chance he plays. We've seen some other movements. I think Drew Lock on the Giants, Tyrod Taylor on the Jets, the Jags trade for Mac Jones. All this to say, Adam, as the Bears fan, no Justin Fields movement so far. So where are you right now with the process of all signs pointing towards drafting Caleb Williams out of USC? No deal yet. The market reflecting maybe not as high as the Bears would want. I mean, how far does this go? Is he going to be on the team draft night and beyond Justin Fields?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been reading some things about maybe he is just the backup for the season. I don't know if that's something. You know, everything I heard generally about Caleb Williams is he's, you know, the next franchise quarterback. Obviously, that can mean a lot or not mean a lot. You know, we've heard the examples of Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning and John Elway before that, all being drafted by the Colts. So it obviously worked out generally for them. Well, I guess of those, you know, only have one Super Bowl, but. But obviously, you never know. So
I think there is still going to be a market to kind of send him somewhere, but there's no need to rush this. I just think when you start fresh with a rookie, it's probably better to have that veteran there, that backup that kind of understands the role a little bit. And I know Fields is, you know, a professional, but the guys do love him, and I think he still, you know, believes he belongs on the field. So it's a tough one for sure. The market reflecting how it does didn't really help him for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure he probably wants to be a starter. I'm sure it's just kind of the mentality. I'm sure the fans want to win now. So there's a lot of different variables, you know, depending on, you know, who Caleb Williams ends up becoming, even through training camp and such.
We've got a lot to still digest. The draft's coming up, and I think that's a good place to kind of end it, Adam, as we look at the draft coming up. I mean, once again, I'm a biased Marvin Harrison guy, but it looks like we're going to go three quarterbacks again just because that's the market, and, you know, three quarterbacks will be drafted, and if two end up, you know, on their team starting, doing well for more than 5 years, that's a success.
Yeah, and I know that it's been tough because you know the 2021 draft with Fields and Zach Wilson is kind of showing that there's no sure bet. So I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. You know, I feel like when Andrew Luck was coming out, that I remember that being like, okay, he's going to be great. I was definitely a little salty that the Colts, you know, had this great run and then, you know, had one obviously terrible year because Manning was injured. But you know, now I feel like we've seen some you know, holes in the armor for Caleb Williams, but I don't know if some of that's just, you know, smoke and mirrors. And, you know, Drake May's stock is going up. But, you know, it's like every year. It's just a matter of, you know, what team, there's good fits and there's bad fits, I guess, with teams. Obviously, how can their college, you know, performance translate in the NFL? But you really don't know. So I guess if you're a fan of one of those teams, it's a little nerve-wracking. Probably you should be pretty optimistic, but, you know, there's no guarantee that if you call a quarterback early, then, you know, you're going to win yourself a bunch of Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, it's weird for me also not really having a vested interest in the draft, having traded away these picks. So,
yeah,
weird role reversal for me, but we'll see what ends up happening. Adam Musso, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining the Money Mitch Effect for
Thanks.
This football update.
I was going to end with, I feel like the Bears were in that situation for a lot of my fandom, just between, you know, the Khalil Mack trade and the Jay Cutler trade. Yeah. And, you know, so it is interesting. Sometimes it's a little anticlimactic. It's kind of weird having the first overall pick back-to-back years now.
Yeah, I've been there. But all right, man, always a pleasure. Adam, thanks for coming on the show.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
This was the Money Mitch Effect. Thanks to Adam Musto, and thanks to everybody out there for listening to the show and also making it a priority to find us on all your different podcast platforms, whether they're Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever that may be. We'll be back in the weeks to come to talk all the events. Next week's March Madness, we're going to have a show for that one. Also, hockey, basketball playoffs coming up, some tennis, some off-season football, the draft, baseball starting soon. So stay on the lookout for all the great content on the Money Mitch Effect. You can find me on Twitter at MoneyMitchM21 and check out the Money Mitch Effect Facebook page. For Adam Musto, my name is Mitch Michaels. Thank you for listening to the Money Mitch Effect, and keep enjoying sports.